We appreciate that, but I want you to stay here. Come right on here. And I want to ask our head. Well, I was going to ask Sandy, well, if you come down, we're going to pray for him. Henry, if you come on down. Any, whatever, Phyllis, where is she? Elders. There, Phyllis, come on down. We want to pray. Mom and Dad, why don't you come on down? Just gather around your son here and let's pray for him. And I'm going to ask Phil to also minister to him prophetically.
Hallelujah.
Good job, Eric and Michelle, by the way. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Father, at this crossroads in Ethan's life, we just say thank you, first of all. We thank you. In fact, I'm just reminded that he was the first baby I dedicated here. His parents, or stood with parents, dedicating him to the Lord when I came here as pastor. And now he's a young man. And Lord, at this crossroads, we thank you that whatever the choices he makes, you love him, but we pray, Lord, at crossroads in his life, which he'll be facing a number of them in the next few years, that you would be there with him at each decision and let him sense clearly your will for him. Yeah. Guard his life, protect him, yes. Provide for him, bless him, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, God.
God have a seat in our mind. Hallelujah. For you have learned the secret of keeping the kingdom of God close to your heart. And I come to you this day and I say your strength will always be in how close you stay to the kingdom. And I have put my word, my scripture into your heart, and that scripture will hold you fast. And there will be times even in life when you would be convinced or tempted to somehow stray away from the word or diminish or change the word, but you will not, because it will hold fast within you, for you will constantly make decisions for the pearl of greatest price. There was a man, he found a pearl, went and sold all he had and went and bought that pearl. And the Lord comes to you and says, as you continue to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you as well. For I will constantly, hear these words, I will constantly bring you back to principle. I will constantly bring you back to the word. And there will be times where you will wrestle with it. This is not a negative word. Oh, we all wrestle with it. You will wrestle with it, but the word will root and take root and hold you fast. And even when you will leave and you will travel and you will be in other places, and as you grow up to be a young man, the Lord comes to you and says, I will hold you fast. Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when it is old, it will not depart from him. It will not depart. You will be at times laughing at yourself because you will be bound by the word that has been sown in you. And I will give you favor. But there will be times where you will be salt in a dark place. You will be light in a dark place. You will be a firm foundation in a place that is shaky. For I'm calling you into this world, but I have not called you to be of this world. And you will not be of this world, even though the world would pressure and tell you this is good, that is good, that is okay. I will bind you to my word, and you will make decisions that will bring you life. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his soul? And you will know that. You will not sell out. You will not give in. You will hold on to the truth, because you know in your heart the truth shall set you free. So do not let anyone cause you to compromise. And do not let any compromise enter into your heart. For I have called you to be a cornerstone, a firm foundation, a rock. A rock on which that when the rain comes, your house will stand firm. For I will give you favor.
Hallelujah.
I will give you favor. You will have favor in this world, but you will not be won or owned by that favor, but you will be owned only by the kingdom and the purposes of God. And I come to you this day and I say, I'm going to bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. As you get that in your heart, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Consider the lilies of the field, yet Solomon in all his splendor was not ordained like one of these. If that is how God knows how to clothe the lilies of the field, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I'm coming to you, my son, and I'm telling you, Solomon had wisdom. But here's the thing, nothing is greater than the principles and the wisdom and the kingdom of God. You keep putting that first, and you will be flung out. You will be flung out in a good way. You'll be flung out. You'll be given opportunity. But in listen to this, I will be with you at all times, and I will hold you fast in my hand. Be encouraged. My hand is upon you. I have given you gift. I have given you wisdom, and you will apply it to your life and see the fruitfulness of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Was that encouraging, Ethan, or what? All right. I want you to stay here a second, though, because I believe there's some youth who have something they want to present to you. Who's coming? Who's doing this? Come on down. Faith is looking over at you. Our youth group's been thinking of you, too. All right. Uh-oh. Keys to a car? All right. Nice. All right. Bless you. All right. Let's release now our kids to their classrooms, preschoolers to the Little Lambs, elementary to World Changers, junior high, Shining Lights. Awesome, awesome. And I want to ask Jacob Bolton, if you'd just stand, we want to honor you for graduating from the University of Buffalo this year at age 20. Received a Bachelor of Science in Math at age 20 because he went to the Bolton Academy homeschool, got done early, plowed through as a minor in computer science, graduated with summa cum laude honors. Congratulations, Jacob. Appreciate you. And then I want to ask two guys to come down. Where's Ian Deason? Come on down. Patrick McInerney, come on down. So we've had a number of students from this school or this church go through a school called Nation to Nation Christian University and get an associate's degree. And Nation to Nation offers courses by video that local churches can use, courses in biblical studies, courses in leadership, courses that equip them in various ministry skills. And there were two guys that started one semester later than the rest of the crew. And then COVID hit, so they got knocked back even further. But these two have persevered. We graduated the other students, what was it, a year and a half ago maybe? And today I have diplomas from Nation to Nation Christian University under the authority of Wynn Ministries of Texas on the nomination of the president and faculty. They're conferring upon Brian Deesa, who has successfully completed the prescribed course of study, the degree of Associate of Biblical Studies and Ministry, signed and sealed on the 18th day of June in the year 2021. Brian Deesa, I'm so proud of you. So glad. Thank you. Congratulations. Stay here. And also, Nation to Nation recognizes under the authority of Wynn Ministries of Texas on the nomination of the president and faculty are conferring upon Patrick Ryan McInerney, who's successfully completed a prescribed course of study, the degree of the Associate of Biblical Studies and Ministry, 18th of June, 2021. Patrick McInerney, I'm so proud of you. Way to go, man. I'm going to ask Phil if you'd come back on up and minister to these two. And
hallelujah.
Do you want to join him, Kayla? Or, all right, she's trying to record this all.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Yeah, I saw you playing drums, right? That was you? Lord spoke to me very clearly that you're called to be a disciple of the Word, that there's going to come out of you an understanding of the Word that will be rich. And this is not the end, but only the beginning. There is more that I have for you. And you would say even in your heart, Lord, I don't know if I want any more. I think I'm okay. But I'm coming to you today and I'm saying, pursue me. Pursue me. Pursue me. And if you pursue me, I will put in you such a knowledge, such an understanding of my word, such a development. You would say in your heart, yeah, I don't know. I don't. Could I really, really get up and share? But I'm going to tell you right now. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your belly. You say, well, if the, it's not just the word. It's when the word is put on the altar and then the fire of God falls upon it and consumes it and puts power into the word. Sharper than any two-edged sword. For I'm going to release within you an understanding of the Holy Spirit and the word. The Logos will become Rhema. It will become living and active and it will divide your heart and those around you. For I've called you to a sphere of influence that will be small but powerful. Small but powerful. You do not know what God can do with you. You don't know who Sister Rich is. Sister Rich is my Sunday school teacher. Sister Rich taught me the word. She taught me Bible stories. She every week she'd have me repeat last week's Bible story. She taught me the word, taught me the word, taught me the word. And now Sister Rich, in her small sphere of influence, has had an inheritance in every bit of ministry that I do. Don't look with your eye and don't look at your own ability. Look unto me, the author and the perfecter of your faith. And I will develop you, I will groom you, I will bring you along, and the word will be rich within you. But there'll also be a humility because you'll know it's not by might, not by power, not by logos, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. For I'm not done with you. And I've got more for you. I've got leadership for you. I've got things for you. And do not look and say, well, it needs to be big. It needs to be all that. You have no idea of the one person that you might impact that will take the kingdom of God to this world. So be encouraged. It's not for naught that you have done this. It's only the beginning. Get into my word. Continue to study. Play the drums. Have fun. But at the end of the day, there's more for you. There's more for you. And this young man here, man, did I hear God speak when you came up. I heard this apostle of love. Now, you probably want to hear something mushy like that and something sweet like that. But there's going to be in your life in the years to come, you're going to, as it were, perspire the love of God. That's not the best word. I can't think of another word. Emulate it. It'll come out your pores. The word of God is going to be so full of love within you that people will be drawn unto God and drawn unto the kingdom and grown in God because they'll see a God who is not only a God of judgment, but a God of love. Amen. And you're going to be, I hate to use this word, it's very dramatic, but I heard this, an apostle of love in the word of God. So keep growing. keep growing. You're going to be one of those guys that just laughs at the goodness of God. And you look around, you go, why is everybody so serious right now? God is on the throne. Why is the world falling apart? It's not. God is on the throne, and he has established you, and he will establish you, and you will flow with a gift of love flowing out of you as the word comes out of you. You will be known as one that people can trust because they know you'll speak the truth, but you'll speak it in love. And here's the thing. God's going to work in your heart such an understanding of his love and his goodness and his mercy and his kindness. And you will be sought out because people will know that man knows a loving God. So be encouraged. And listen, let no one despise your youth, but continue to be an example to believers in word and deed. And there'll be times where God will say to you, lighten up. Now, you're pretty good at lightening up probably, but just lighten up. It's okay. It's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. Because listen to me when I tell you this, young man. God's hand is upon your life. And before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you, he called you, and he set you apart for a purpose. Know that deep inside that God's hand is upon you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, I just want to say one thing. I just want to say something about when someone's ministering prophetically. We can get into an audience kind of mindset where we're thinking, well, he's ministering to Patrick and to Brian, and why am I here? I'm just kind of watching. Listen, those words that have been spoken, think of all the scripture that's already come out to these young men, of all the scripture that's come out. That speaks to us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. These were powerful words. I know how the Holy Spirit works, and you can be sitting anywhere in this room. You can be watching online, and our guests can be ministering to someone personally, and while he's doing that, Holy Spirit can be talking to you. So I want to encourage you to listen for the voice of God to you in the middle of all of this. And so, Phil, take your liberties with the word.
Sounds good. Hallelujah. The man that was on the worship team with a cross there, how you doing? I heard this word, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. And the Lord comes to you and says, don't look back, don't even look back years, because those things are gone in Jesus' name. He comes to you today and he says, there's a deposit in you that is new and fresh, and he's doing a new thing in your life. It doesn't matter what was. You could say to God, you remember that? And God's going, what? I've already cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. And it does not define you. Now, I think you're a mature believer. I don't know why I'm bringing you this word. But God comes to you and says, what was is gone. It's been broken. And it's a new thing, a new generation, a new life, a new thing for you. And so don't even let anything haunt your mind, because God comes and says everything he has for you is new and good. And he's able to take that which even the locusts have devoured and make it new. And make it new. There is no generational thing in God that he cannot change. And he comes to you and he says, I've got a new day for you, a new generation, and a new place for you to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. How y'all doing? You're all looking good out there. Isn't it nice? Oh, man, I see 405 masks on. It's good. It's good to be out of all that, isn't it? Hallelujah, I'm free. Well, we'll move on from that. We don't want to talk about that too much. My wife said I never looked better than when I wore a mask. Hallelujah. I try not to take that personal. Hallelujah. I have, just so you know me, I'm married with four daughters, 27 down to 19, and they are all serving God. They have no choice. That's what I tell them. I will kill you if you do not. Now, where they are all serving God, I'm telling you, you can do it by the grace of God and a lot of prayer. No stupid relationships with any boys, no drugs, no alcohol. You know why? Because we kept them close to the house of God. Let's get them into God. It's not a guarantee, but it sure helps. Anyhow, my wife and I have been married for 30 years in November, and I better get that right. 30 years in November. I've been pastoring the same church, as was said, for 28 or 29 years. And I remember coming when I was an EBI student. Pete Miller was the pastor, and the church was in the funeral home down the road. How, a lot of resurrection going on there, a lot of resurrection. But it was down the road in the funeral home. I was a student, and I graduated, and I was traveling with a music group. And I remember, Pete, I remember when you moved in here, and this was, wow, you've done a lot. It's a great job. By the way, you got great pastors. I know it's a transition, but I have a word for you. God knows. And I'm telling you, the name of this church is not by chance. Living Waters. And you need to keep pursuing that, that God has a living water well for this place. Because that's your heritage, and that's what you have in God. Don't ever let that go away. But you have great pastors, and good to see Prophet Benedetti back there. I've worked with her, and wow, great gift, great move. When I've been out with her, she moves and flows really, really well. Hallelujah. This brother here, I heard the Lord say when we were singing that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And God comes to you and says, do not fear what was, but know what I have for you is good. And do not look back. Do not look back, lest you turn to stone. Listen, the enemy wants you to look back so that he can turn you to salt. And God is saying, look forward. Look forward in me. Look forward in me, because I am not going to cause you in any way to stumble. But if you look back, you will turn to salt. I come to you and I say, I am for you. I am for you. I am for you, and because I am for you, your future is bright. And so don't look back. There's a reason why in a car the front window is huge and the little mirror to look back is small, because you're supposed to keep your eyes forward. If you look back, you drop stuff on you. You got something in your hand, you're drinking, you spill it on yourself because you're looking back. Look forward. And know that what I have for you is good. Do not think in any way that somehow I am going to bring up or remind you or somehow disturb you in a way. That is not me. That is the enemy. I come to you and I say, when he comes to you like that, you say to him, God has given me a new day, a new hope, and a new future. And do not fear. Do not fear. I'm going to slide back. No. You are not going to slide back. Look to the Lord this day and know that he will help you and he will add to your life only good things. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a lady over here. I don't see her. She might have went out with the kiddos. Hallelujah. That's okay. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Isn't he good? You guys know that song? Isn't he good? Hallelujah. God's got more for you. I just, there's a stability, there's something there, but God wants to even make himself more real to you in a fresh way. I was watching you this morning when I first came in. The Lord spoke to me and said, there's more for him. There's a greater release that God wants to bring. And it's okay. You it's not that you've done anything that wasn't right or anything, but God comes and says, I want to bring you into a new day in me. And it's a good day, and it's a day that will be a blessing to you. And there'll be things even that you've wondered, God, what about this? What about that? All those things will come to rest because a new day is coming in your life. And do not even think somehow I will pass you by. I will not pass you by. But as you look to me in a fresh way, I come to you and I say, I will meet you. You know, the disciples were out in the boat and rowing, and Jesus was walking on the water. And they said, do not pass me by. And he didn't. And the Lord comes to you and says, as you continue to reach out, even for things that you might not understand, God says he will not pass you by, but he will meet you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This lady here, there's a new day I'm bringing to your life. There's been good, there's been growth, there's been an understanding of the Spirit of the Lord, but there's a new day that I'm bringing to your life. You're going to find yourself finding fresh rivers, fresh streams, even in the desert. And it's not that you've been in the desert, but God says, I'm about to bring to you fresh water, fresh touch, a fresh move of my Spirit even upon your life. And you've walked in joy, but there's a new joy, a new understanding. In fact, I'm going to bring you to a place of understanding that will be fresh in me. And there'll be a fresh stream and a fresh river. And do not worry about what others have done or what others haven't done. That's the way it is. People do, people don't do. But I'm here to tell you, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I will stand with you. It doesn't matter. It's not man that makes a way for you. I'm the one that makes a way for you. So I come to you this day. And I say, get ready for a fresh stream. And there will be doors open to you, fresh doors, new doors. And you have felt at times maybe some doors are closed. But I'm telling you, I'm the God who opens and I'm the God who closes. And be at peace for any door that closes. And be ready for the door that's about to open unto you, of freshing and refreshing. Because I have found you faithful, saith the Lord. I have found you faithful. You've stood. And I am not a God who is anybody's debtor. And because you have stood faithful, even in times when you haven't understood, or you have said, God, why? I come to you this day and I say, I will be with you in a fresh and a new and a living way. And you will start to see the provision of the Lord and by his Spirit in fresh ways. You will see natural provision, but you're going to see a release of provision in the Spirit, an anointing, a fresh anointing even for your life. Because you have said, God, this will I seek and only you will I seek. God comes and says, I'll meet you right there. Hallelujah. God Abamanda, this gentleman right here, God just comes to you and says he loves you. He loves you. And those things that are a concern and a burden on your life are a concern and a burden on his heart. And those things that you are lifting before him, those things that are near and dear to you, that are on your heart, God says he hears your cry. And he says, keep knocking, keep pursuing. He comes to you with that scripture. If you knock on his door, will he give you a stone? No, he'll give you bread. And he's not a man that he should lie. And so he comes to you and he says, those things that are near and dear to your heart, listen, just as you're driving down the road, just as you're sitting, continue to lift them. I keep feeling if it's someone or someone close to you or something in your own life that's been disappointment or something that's disappointed you or someone you're burdened for, just, and I don't know if that's what it is, but I get that sense in my spirit. But whatever it is, God comes and says, just keep knocking. He'll be faithful. And he hears your cry unto him today. This lady right here, God just comes to tell you this morning that he loves you. And he knows you. And you are not unnoticed in his eyes. And he sees your heart before him. And you said, God, I want you, Lord. I want you, and there's a humility. And the Lord says that those that are humble, God will lift up. And so there's a humility. But when we hear lift up, we understand it as the world understands it. But the humility that God lifts up is to bless in other ways. You know, I strongly believe in giving unto the Lord. I'm a person, the principle of the tithe, and above that, I honor the Lord with that. But you know what? And, you know, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I believe in all those things, and I do them. I practice them. But can I tell you something? I would rather have God bless my life than give me something. I would rather have God bless my marriage than give me a new car. Well, let's not get carried away here. No, I would rather... God, don't strike me with lightning, please, for saying that. I'm Irish, I joke, I can't help it. But I would rather have that kind of blessing in my life. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world offers. And Jesus comes to you and he says, he's heard that in your heart. He sees that in your spirit. He sees that within you. And he says to you, you're going to be wealthy in the kingdom and the purposes of God. Who cares about anything else? You know, I've had cars, they come and they go, you know, they rust. You know, I've had homes, they come and they go, you know, I have a home right now, I feel like all I do is fix it. What's the point? All I do is fix that thing. It's a nice home, but all I do is fix it. I'm thinking today what I got to do tomorrow to fix it. What's so great about having a nice home and a nice car? At the end of the day, you know what's really great? My wife still loves me after all these years. I know it's a miracle. I know what you're thinking. My kids are in church this morning. I have elders who love me. I've had elders who don't love me, let me tell you. But I have elders who love me. I've got families who love me in that church. This month, our church gave $1,000 to feed people in India who are struggling because of COVID. Keep the house. Keep the car. Most of the time, I'm at peace with myself. God's going to bless you. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. God's heard that in your heart, and he's going to give it to you. Be encouraged this day. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, I was asked to share a little bit this morning, and so I'm going to share a little bit. I don't know if I need a Bible, but if you have your Bible, I think this is important because I think there's, for me, I grew up, I'm third generation. My grandfather in Ireland got saved. He was a drunk. A functioning drunk. I don't like using that word, but that's what he was. But when he got saved, he got totally delivered, and he started pastoring his church. And then my dad and him came into the Latter-day Renewal when it hit Ireland and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I grew up around prophetic ministry. I mean, I didn't, you know, some people think, you know, it's rather new. But again, I'm third generation. And so I grew up in a church that I saw all sorts of extremes in the gifts of the Spirit and all sorts of stuff. My dad was very good about dealing with it, and he was loved for that. Not really. Most of the time, he was loved for that. The people he had to deal with didn't love him too much. But I want us to read just together in 1 Corinthians 12, as I just look at prophetic ministry briefly, just a biblical basis and just some points. And it's already five after. So we got a good 15 minutes. Maybe I'll flow a little bit more prophetically. I don't know. But we'll see what the Lord does. Amen? Isn't he good? I love him. Anyhow, and in the church, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. I've shared this in the class I teach at Elam. I shared it on a huddle, or I think that's what it's called, with Elam Fellowship. And Pastor Jack asked me just to share a little bit of it again with you. And so I'm going to hit it really brief. But I think it's the key to it all. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. I want you to see something here. I had a guy in my church years ago. He thought he had all the gifts. And let me tell you, he was easy to deal with. No. And, you know, he thought he moved in them all. But I want you to see something here. And he called some. There are some people who are prophetic, some who are apostolic, some who are pastoral, some who are teachers. And one of the blessings I've had in my life, I've been around people who move in their gift. And so it doesn't mean you can't flow a little bit in some of them or all of them a little bit, but you will have a main gift. But I want you to see the central point here about moving in the gifts of the Spirit. As Paul is writing here in the last verse, he says, and let me show you the most excellent way. And he goes into a chapter that we read at weddings. He says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, the most excellent way is not about your gift. The most excellent way is love. And so please, I've been pastoring a few years and a lot of years, and I've watched my dad, and I've come to this conclusion in my life. Don't tell me about your gift. Show me your love. I really don't care about your gift. Because if you don't have love and you don't lay your life down for people, if you're not humble and broken and really just want to see people blessed and encouraged, then your gift becomes something that becomes, as it were, tainted or perverted in a sense, and it becomes something that you worship at and something that you use to control people and to get your own way. Listen, you don't have to make my, I remember my dad when I was 13 years of age, I'm sitting in church and he shows me this scripture. And my dad was a very strong prophetic person. And he shows me this verse and he points it in his Bible and he says, a man's gift will make room for him. You don't have to make room for yourself. You have to push your way forward. I'm here to show you my gift. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Please take it home with you. Your gift will make room for you, and if it's rooted in love, it will be received because people are dying for love. And if you mix your gift, especially the prophetic, with love, then it has an ability to bring people into the love of God to receive. I think sometimes we confuse being negative as being prophetic. Listen, I don't have to be prophetic to be negative. I can be negative in 5 seconds. I have the gift of prophecy because I can tell everything that's wrong with you. Listen, I want to tell you something. I already know everything that's wrong with me. And if I don't know, my wife knows. And if my wife doesn't know, I got 4 daughters who will correct me on a daily basis of how I'm not living up to their expectations. We all know our negative gifts. Negative gifts, that's a term. We all know our... Hey, honey, I have negative gifts. That's what I'll tell you. Hey, honey, they're gifts. Just receive them in Jesus' name because they're gifts, honey, they're gifts. We already know. We already know we fall short. And so when Paul is writing here, he's actually correcting the Corinthian church. Because if you read in chapter 14, they're given a bunch of tongues because they were so proud, but nobody was interpreting the tongue. And so he's bringing correction. He's saying to them, don't tell me how good your tongue is. Don't tell me how good your gift is. I frankly don't care. Let me show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way of your gift is if you love and you prefer one another in love. And you don't expect to be esteemed because of your gift, but you expect to be esteemed because Jesus is in you. He's changed your heart. He's changed your life. And you flow in the love of God. I mean, listen to this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels who have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I speak in the tongues, you should hear my tongues. Whoa, they're really holy. Man, my tongues, they're ecclesiastical. Woo! The Pope called me. He wants me to speak in tongues. And Paul's saying here, I don't care. I don't care. Show me your love. He goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, I would love, would you love that? That's a pretty good gift. And if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. In other words, I can move mountains, but you know, you need to honor my gift and esteem me, you know, and you know, I'm better than you because of my gift, but have not love. Listen, any gift you have is by the absolute grace of God. In fact, the word gifting in the Bible, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the root word is charisma. It's the word charis. It's the Hebrew word for, or sorry, Greek word for grace. So if you have a gift, it's by grace. You are not holy enough to carry any gifting that you have, and you are not holy enough to earn any gift that you have. It's all by grace. So if you have a gift, it's not because you are the best thing going since sliced bread. It's because God gave you a gift. Not saying we don't live a holy life and be a vessel that honors the gift. Absolutely. We've all seen people who have gifts and they live like an angel on Sunday, and we won't say what they live like the rest of the week. Amen? And we do not receive ministry from people who do not allow their character to be developed because they think the gift gets it all done. But no, 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 no. The Bible talks about character. It talks about integrity. It talks about faithfulness. I'm not talking about people who are saints and never make any mistakes. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the fact that you live a life that your gift is received because people also see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, all those other gifts. You shouldn't only have the gift. You should have the fruit of the Spirit. My congregation would not stay with me too long if I constantly went out of church on Sunday morning and yelled at every one of them in the parking lot. Amen? How long do you think that'll last? It'd be me and my wife, and she wouldn't even put up with it. And so there should be a balance of your gift and the fruit. Because the fruit is the platform for the gift.
My church would not grow. My church would not be blessed. I'm going to tell you right now, God would deal with me. I would be sitting every Sunday morning with nothing going on, no missionaries being supported, no people being sent, no people being raised up, if I also didn't have character and integrity in my life. Now, I am not a saint. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. But I'm not making an excuse for sin. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at the scripture, when it talks about qualifications for leadership, it says not contentious. If you are constantly contentious and feel that you're being prophetic, you need to read this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Here's a big one. It keeps no records of wrongs. It forgives. Love does not delight in evil. In other words, it doesn't accept evil in its life. It looks at itself. The Bible, I believe this, the unexamined life is not worth living. And if enough people called you or call you a horse, it's time to start eating hay. And so if you have a gift, I don't care what it is, but you have not developed the love of God in your life, you are disqualifying yourself and the gift, and you are hurting the kingdom. And so love is patient, it's kind, it keeps no records of wrongs. I prophesy, but I also believe that part of my life is to be someone that is patient, kind, and long-suffering, and keeps no records of wrongs. I forgive, and I realize when I forgive, I give a platform for the gift to increase. The gift increases when you allow God to work in your life. Paul says here, listen, he says, forget everything else. Let me show you the most excellent way. Let me tell you the most excellent way. Get along with your spouse. Well, I have a gift. Well, that's good. Do you get along with your spouse? Do you forgive your neighbor? How about your boss? How's he doing? Don't you love your boss? How many of you love your boss? You better. Not too many hands going up on that one. I hope nobody employs a bunch of you. That could be really difficult. But God is good, folks. Love never fails. Listen to this, verse 8. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see in part a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I am known in part, then I shall be fully known, even as I am fully known. And now these things remain, faith, hope, and love. Listen to this. But the greatest of these is love. Now listen to verse 14 as he gets in chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Why? I'm going to close out preaching right now. Wow, 2 minutes. Why? Because words have power. And the prophetic confirms in people sometimes the desires of their hearts. And when you come in and you give a prophetic word that confirms what God is speaking to them, it encourages them. And the word encourage means to inspire courage. And when God was creating the universe, he spoke words. Let there be light. Let there be water. Let there be firmament. Words have power. And so that's why love is so important. Because if you're motivated by anything else but love, those words can be tainted and do more harm than good. For example, for you will amount to nothing, you will do nothing, you know, you need to get your life right, you're a big sinner, thus saith the Lord. Can I tell you something? Like I said earlier, most people are already struggling with that. What they need to hear is this. God's got a plan for your life. Now, I can say that, but when it's driven and inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's the right word for the right season in that person's life, it has power. I remember I gave this word years ago. It was a little group, and this girl was part of a team we were involved in, and I went up to her and the Lord gives me this word, tell her that I love her. And I'm going, oh, that's deep. Whoa, theology 101 right there. Tell her that I love her and I know her. God, really? I mean, you know, we're just standing here. I kind of know her a little bit. And just do it. Okay. So I go over. I just give this word. I said, the Lord says to you that he loves you. He knows you. He knows where you are right now. And he has not forgotten you. She breaks. For years, she had went to services where there was prophetic ministry and never had a prophetic word. And she wondered if God loved her, if God knew her, or if God had forgotten her. Now, to me, those are not deep words. But boy, did it speak to her heart, because it was directed right at her. And she broke. And she came up to me afterwards and told me, Phil, you're not going to believe this. I go, yeah, it wasn't that deep, I know. But, you know, I hope it was Phil. And then she told me the story of what it meant to her. You never know, because words have power. And what was my heart there? I didn't even want to prophesy. You know, I walk into services sometimes and God begins to speak to me and I'm going, no. Look, I'm real comfortable here, God. I'm just standing here having a great time. I don't really want to prophesy. You know what I'm saying, God? Could you leave me alone? But you see, love constrains us. And God will speak to me and say, it's for someone, Phil. And out of love, I didn't even want to be in ministry. I mean, watch my dad pastor. I said, there's easier ways to make a living. I mean, I'm just a very logical person. There's easier ways. And you know what? They'll pay you more. I'm very well paid. My church takes care of me. So I have no issues. That's not what I mean. But they would pay you more. But love. You know why I served God, why I gave my heart to God? Because he kept loving me. He just kept saying, Phil, you're as stubborn as they come. You're thick. You're Irish. I don't know what to do with you. But I love you. His love broke me. Now, forgive me, Lord. It's an honor that I get to do what I do. I consider it an honor. Amen? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I got to keep going here from the pastors. Go, keep preaching. Oh, minister some more, preach. What you want? Hallelujah. 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 I don't usually do this. I've never done this, actually. Does anybody here need a word? Pop up your hand real quick. Oh, there's a girl. Oh, two. We're back there. Good. Hallelujah. New avenues, new doors, new streams, new times. I'm coming to you and I'm saying to you, new avenues, new streams, new doors, new times. I'm coming to you and I'm saying, be open to something new. Doesn't mean don't rush, get a peace in your spirit, but new days, new times, new openings, new doors. And do not think in somehow, in your mind, you would think this is how it's going to happen. This is how it's supposed to happen. This door, that opportunity. But the Lord comes and says, I'm going to move beyond your understanding. In fact, I'm going to throw the door so open and there will be some hesitancy, but you're going to go, what am I supposed to do? The door is open. So you're going to walk through it. And in that, there might be some change, but no change. Change, but no change. Change, but no change. A holding on and a letting go. A rooting, but also a stretching out. For I'm about to cause the vine of your life to move, but stay rooted, but to move and to flow in new places, new directions. And do not look back, but look forward. Because if you look back, you will find out that there's nothing there. Look forward. Look forward. You know, sometimes we live in our memories. I'm like that. I'm Irish. I'm romantic. I'm nostalgic. But sometimes God is moving in a new way. And so you've got to figure out for you what that is. And when I say that, it's not a selfishness. It's an understanding that you will keep those things that are near and dear, keep those commitments that are near and dear. But at the same time, it's a new stretching. It's a new door. It's a new avenue. And do not feel that in any way that things are going to diminish for you. They're going to increase. And the increase will not be in quantity, but quality. Whew. Quality. Do not measure in your mind what you think I should do for you. My scales are different than your scales. And my scales have things that you do not see or understand. So do not try to figure it out. Just get on the scale and I will put you where I want you to go. And know that what you think in your mind is not what I have as far as importance or strength or influence. But what I have for you, trust me, it goes deep. So know my hand is upon you and I will bring you into new streams of living water. Hallelujah. Father, there's the lady over there. How you doing? Good to see you. Good for you to put up your hand. That's the way to go. Why be shy? I'm shy. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to be faithful to you in the little. Because there are some things on your heart, on your life, that you, they're little, but they're not little. They're not little to you. And so those little things that you would even say, God, it's okay. It's okay. If that doesn't, if you don't, it's okay, God. If you don't work it out, it's okay. God says, I'm going to be faithful to you in the little. Years ago, I heard a pastor and evangelist talk about he was on a plane and he was flying somewhere and he was thinking how he wanted this little jackknife. It was a brand, some kind of brand. And so he was on this plane. He went through this service and it was a very large church. And, you know, the pastor gave him the offering and he was very blessed by that. And then the pastor said to him, and there was this really weird thing in the offering. It was a little jackknife. It was the very color, the very brand that he just told the Lord he had wanted. And God comes to you and says, he knows the requests of your heart. And you might think they're small, but to him, they're important. And even the things you said, it's okay, God, if you don't work those out, he's going to start working them out. But he also comes to you and says, you are never alone. He is always with you. He comforts you. He keeps you. And he will provide for you even the littlest thing like a jackknife. He knows what you need. And God will help you and get those things for you. Be encouraged. He sees you. And do not think anything is too small for our God. We know the scriptures, anything too large for our God. But the Lord comes to you and says, is anything too small that he won't take care of you? God will take care of you even in the small things. Hallelujah. There's a day, it's not that you haven't already, but there's a day coming, young man, that God is going to cause you to step up, to step up. It's a step up. It's a step up. It's a new place. It's a new authority. Now, when we hear authority, we hear that sometimes funny, like authority means to lord it over someone. No, you know what authority means is responsibility. And so God is going to give you an opportunity for some new responsibility. It may not be positional or a title, but it'll be new responsibility, and you'll know it. You know, I used to years ago. When I would do premarital counseling with couples, I still do it, but I don't even bring this up anymore. You know, every now and then, husbands will, well, I'm the leader of the home, I'm the leader. And I said, you get to be the leader because you act responsible. When you don't act responsible, you don't get to be the leader. And the Lord comes to you and he says, because you are willing to step up and take responsibility, he's going to increase your leadership gift. He wants to increase. I hear this word increase, step up, and you stepping up. And the God taking you and bringing you to that new place. But remember, authority is not all that. Authority is responsibility. I lead in my home when my wife lets me. You know what I'm saying? We lead together. That's the truth. But if I try to lead in my home in any way and I'm not responsible, I've got a wife and four daughters who will look at me and say, no, I don't think so. I don't think so, buddy. But I get to lead because I'm responsible. In fact, I have a voice because I have, This sounds awful where I'm going. I have a voice in my home because I'm responsible. And God comes to you and says, as you take more responsibility, your voice, and I mean authority in God, will increase. But God wants you to step up. There's new things for you as you step up. Hallelujah. Wow, it's good to hear about this young man here. The homeschooler, don't worry, I won't embarrass you. You're going to be fine. Wow, that's great. My goodness, great grades. Hallelujah. The Lord comes and says to you, you're not only going to use it in the natural world, you're going to use it in the spiritual world. And I'm going to cause you to be someone that sees, someone that thinks, and someone that lays out structure. You're going to be a thinker. You're going to be blessed in the natural world, but you're going to be someone, even in the kingdom at times, that is going to be drawn upon, because there will be a system and a logic to what you're thinking. For I've not called you just to use, and you know this, not to use the gift just for yourself, but for the extension of the kingdom of God. And there are going to come times where you're going to be busy, but there's going to come an opportunity to serve in the ministry in a local church or just to help out. And you're going to say to yourself, well, I'm kind of busy and I don't really know if I can be a blessing, because I really think a lot of things need to change about that. But the Lord comes and says to you, he's going to give you a grace, and he's going to give you an inroad to bring structures to churches, to ministries, to people around you, to serve, and to serve in a way that your mind will be used for the kingdom of God. Was it Solomon in the Old Testament? He asked for one thing, you know, to lead God's people, and God gave him wisdom on top of it. And the Lord comes to you and says, as you have a heart to bless God's people, your wisdom will increase and your favor will increase. As you continue to put the kingdom of God as a priority and those principles in your life, you're going to see a natural blessing. The Lord comes to you. I really hear this. As you sow into the kingdom, God's going to sow back into you. I mean, I don't have to prophesy that. That's a biblical principle. But the Lord comes to you and says, you sow into the kingdom with your time and your talent, and God will give you time and talent of an increase from him. Do not, I don't believe you will, but do not forsake the kingdom of God for anything, because God comes to you and says, as you put him first, your talent will increase and your favor will increase. And I'm not worried about that. This is a word of encouragement, not a word of reproof. It's to tell you and to encourage you, keep putting God first, and you will see favor and everything you put your hand to. I don't even have to prophesy that. That's the Bible. Bible 101 right there. But God wants to speak to you clearly and directly. Hallelujah. For you have said in your heart, I want to be a man of God. And the Lord comes to you and says, I'm going to make you and help you to be a man of God. And again, it's the same here. It's not a reproof. God's coming and saying, as you have said in your heart, I want to be a man. I want to be a godly leader. I want integrity in my life. I want to serve you, God, with my whole heart. I want to be a leader. As you say that to God, God is not sitting back going, well, maybe. No, he's coming with lightning. He's coming with strength. And he's saying, I'm here. And as you continue to have that on your heart, even as you're driving down the road, as you put on worship music and teaching tapes, God says he wants to fire you up even more. And he wants to put within you a spring of living water. Hallelujah. That will pour out and refresh you and refresh many. I haven't called you to sit back. I haven't called you to dwell carelessly. I've called you to have that desire even more to be a man of God. And all that means is this: calling out to God, listening to his word, walking in humility, walking in brokenness, and everything else will be added unto you. Because I want to join other men to you in the Lord. I want to join others and young men, and you be to be a discipler and a mentor of other men. My heart is for you, and I want to bring you into a new place and a new authority in me. Be encouraged this day. I've heard your cry. God, I want you. And he comes to you and says, I'm here, and I will help you as you continue to put me as a priority in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, Jack? Okay. Let's go another hour. No, I'm like, yeah. Now, my wife wants me home. Bless you, buddy.
All right. How many of you got really encouraged this morning, huh? Come on. Thank you, Pastor Phil, for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your time with us online, in person, being here to worship and just open your heart to the Lord. I just sensed a real openness and a hunger for Him, and just so many things that Phil was sharing with individuals, I just felt like was stirring all of us. So thank you for coming. Let's thank Him again for being with us this morning. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. Feel free to stay and fellowship here as long as you like. And you can stay and enjoy the air conditioning as long as you like as well. I understand it's getting a little oppressive out there, but you're free in here. God bless. Thank you.